Well, the more I use try and don't do the things that I said I was going to do, it's creating a habit of me not actually trusting myself.
I don't think we realize how much weight or how much depth words have.
When people see you committing to something, especially something for long periods of time, subconsciously they're like, why is she so committed to this thing? Like,
get on my motherfucking face. Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
When it comes to trying, right, I think the thing with when it comes to, let's go back to commitment for a second. When it comes to commitment, I realized for me, a lot of the things that I had to do is I had to commit to the journey before I saw the roadmap. And I think that was like a big thing because there's so many steps in between. Mm-hmm. And if I'm waiting to find out every single step, I'm never going to feel like I actually want to do it. But I had to make the commitment to actually go on whatever the journey is. And I think it starts from there. But when you start off saying, like, I'm going to try, this is what I was saying, actually. When you start saying, I'm going to try, it's usually either a convenient lie or just a polite way to say no later. So, like, hey, I'm going to try and get you that email, right? It's you not acknowledging, like, or you're not acknowledging that, hey, if I don't get to it, I don't get to it. You can't hold me to it, right? As opposed to being like, actually, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to get it done by the time you need me to get it done by. And so, like, when you're saying you want to try something, instead of actually committing to being like, nah, I'm actually going to do this, you're not being truthful to what you actually are feeling or what you're actually, like, saying you want to do. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try and work out tomorrow. And it's like, well, I know everybody always says, oh, either you do it or you don't, but it's more like, if you don't do it, what you're avoiding is saying, like, I don't actually want to put all of the effort into doing this, right? Or this is too hard. That was something I had to tell myself, like, it was something that I didn't want to do. And I'd be like, all right, I'm going to try and do it. And then me acknowledging that, I'm saying to myself, I'm actually too scared to do this right now. And I don't want to put the effort into doing it. Like, me actually saying that, I was like, that sound crazy, bro. What did we, like, just being able to hear myself say that to myself, I was like, I'm too scared to do this. I'm too scared to just randomly, like, go up to somebody, I'm too scared to have, like, just have conversation and be vulnerable. Like, in my head, I was like, that sounds so silly. So just, that's where when it comes to the commitment and understanding, like, where trying is, I think you have to commit before you.
I was just going to say to trying, one thing that actually allowed me to stop using the word try, stop completely, besides God telling me you don't got to try no more. But that wasn't even the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. That was, so the thing that actually got me stop using try was understanding that the more I use try and don't do the things that I said I was going to do because I said I would try to do it, it's creating a habit of me not actually trusting myself. So, mm-hmm. like, me not keeping my word to myself. So, if you remove the word try, it's like, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then if I don't get up at 6, now it's like, ah.
I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Right, you don't want to feel like a liar.
Yeah, not to myself. Like, yeah. So, now I actually value my word now. So I value my word to myself, so I don't have to worry about if other people value it, because if I say I'm going to do it, for me, I'm going to do it. Like, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it because of me, not because I want to look a certain way to other people. It's because I want to look a certain way to myself.
Mm-hmm. I will say for a long time, and I mean, I feel like over the past few years, I've been learning more about trusting myself and different things like that. I don't think we realize how much weight or how much depth words have for ourselves. So the different words and phrases that we use, even though a lot of them, it's like, okay, this is just a normal thing. Like, everybody says try. That's just a word that people say. But when you look at it from that perspective of like, oh no, I said I would try either because I'm scared to actually do it. So I'm like, all right, well, if I don't actually do it, whatever. Or just from the standpoint of, like, I said try because I don't want to actually commit and I don't want to feel like a liar to myself. I feel like I've never looked at it from those perspectives before. And I know that I think my thing before was, like, I can commit to it, but I would often break my promises to myself. But I would commit to other people, and I would hold those promises to other people, to no end. Like, I would keep those promises, but just about every promise, like, in the past, like, I would wind up breaking to myself, and I couldn't figure out why. Even if I made the commitment, like, what do I need in order to help me to actually follow through? Because it's not only just making the commitment, because people make commitments all the time. People say the words that are indicative of a commitment, but actually following through on it, I think, is the part that people struggle with the most. And I think the idea of trying is like, okay, let me add a little or take some of the weight of this actual commitment off of here, because I said I would try. I didn't say I was definitely gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then my follow-up question was really just like, if I'm in a space where, okay, I'm committed, and how do you get other people to see the value of a commitment?
I think the only way that other people see the value of the commitment is if they see you, they see you following through on your commitments. So, and I hate to say it, like, monkey see, monkey do, but but really, I think when people see you committing to something, especially something for long periods of time, even if they don't say it, I think subconsciously they're like, why is she so committed to this thing? Like, why is she every day? Like, yeah. She's going to get up every day. And maybe maybe it's working out. Maybe it's every day you're working out at 5 a.m. Why do you do that? And they may get curious enough to test it. They may get curious enough to try. And then the first time they do it, they're like, man, I can't. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they could get curious enough to attempt, and then they like, you know what, I can't do this, I don't know if I can do this, blah, blah. But I think being an example helps other people to do it, because you can't force anybody to commit to anything, especially, and I don't think you should, because you forcing them to make a commitment doesn't hold. This is something I just learned. When it comes to the idea of, like, people controlling, like, being controlling somebody is not effective, or it's not a good use of your time, because it requires you to be there over everything that they're doing. Like, you can't take a break. So when you're trying to control somebody, it requires you all the time. And if you leave the scenario, they go back to what they were doing. So it's very ineffective for you to try and control people. So you can't control people and force people to make a commitment. Because if they don't want to do it for them, they definitely not going to do it for you. That's just...
And yeah. I was just going to say one thing about trying. You had said you got to commit to the journey before mm-hmm. you commit to the result.
I was saying the journey, before you commit to the...
Till you see the steps,
oh, yeah.
Word. With that, at least for me, what I've been realizing is the only way that I am able to actually commit to the journey is to literally just accept the fact that this is what I'm doing. So me keeping my promises to myself allows me to do that, but what allows me to keep my promises to myself is actually slowing down to the speed of light and understanding the speed of life and understanding that I got it. Understanding what, like, the journey actually consists of. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to... I don't have to know everything. I don't have to... I don't have to know everything. It's not supposed to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, me slowing down and just accepting this is what I'm doing, it helps a lot. And now even my visualizations be a lot more specific.
Yeah.
So I literally visualize myself as an artist. Like, because I told y'all, my job is, art is my job. So now I'm not, all my focus isn't on music, art, fashion, content. Need to make money by tomorrow. Bills is due. Nah, when I see myself, I'm painting. My music, well, now what I'm doing is a collaboration of everything that I actually enjoy doing. But my job is art. So art is going to fund everything. So I see myself doing the artist thing. I'm going to do the other stuff regardless because I enjoy doing it. But the bulk of my energy and my time is going to me getting better at this craft and not rushing it because this is actually what I'm doing. So even knowing that, this is my last point, even knowing that this is exactly what I'm doing, I don't have to try because I wake up and my life is whatever it is I said I was doing.
I think you had something you were going to say?
I was going to ask a question, but you can go ahead if you got more to add on to this.
Oh, I was just going to say what helped me was the realization that I don't believe that there's anything that I can't do if I don't dedicate enough time, effort, and just time and effort into it, right? So if I believe that, then there's literally no reason for me to think that I can't do anything, because it's like, oh, if I spend enough time and effort, I'm going to be able to do this, right? So it's just a matter of, do I want to spend time and effort into it? Right? Which is, when you start thinking this, all right, do I want to spend time and effort? And I think the part where, that's what I was saying before with try, is like, it's the convenient lie. It's like, you don't actually, if you don't actually want to do it, don't say that you don't do it, right? And just be real about it, so that you're like, all right, cool, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go out and do public speaking. Or I'm too afraid to do public speaking because it'll make me blah, 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 right? That way you can address that as opposed to being like, well, I'm going to try. And it's like, see, I never really gave my work, whatever, you know?
And I think it's important to distinguish between whether you just don't want to do it or if you're just afraid to do it. Yeah. Because I feel like that is a determining factor in what type of commitment you make. Because when you get to a point where you're like, I'm tired of being scared of stuff.
So it's raining, huh?
It's like, I know for me, I personally got to a point where I was just like, you know what? This doesn't even make sense why I'm scared of this thing, because I never even, I'm using the word, but I never even tried it. Like, I never even walked toward it. I never even saw what it even entailed because I was so afraid to even give it my attention or to make any level of commitment to it. So I think that is important to distinguish between, okay, this is something that I just do not want to do, because some things you just don't have an interest in. Like, at the end of the day, it might be something where you're just like, I just don't want to do it. Like, I just don't want to eat this thing. I don't want to go to this place. Like, it might not be anything deeper than that. But then there's other things where it's like, I've been telling myself that I didn't want to do this, but I think about it often. And then you start to realize, like, I'm actually just scared to do this. Like, I might be scared to talk in front of people. I know for me, I've been scared to put my offers out there. And I've been scared to, for a while, a long time, I was scared to commit to my music. And I was scared. Like, it was just a lot of things that it was like, okay, I'm saying I don't want to do it, or I don't want to do it like this or that. And it was just like, no, I'm just afraid to commit because I don't want to put in the effort. I think that I don't want to put in the effort is different from the I'm not interested in this thing. And the effort, the level of effort is like, okay, it's scary for me to have to actually put that level of effort into it. So I'm not really going to commit, but I know that I have this thing, or I know that I'm interested in this thing. So maybe I'll dabble in it. Maybe I'll do some research here and there, but then I never actually commit to it. And then I'm just like, oh, I just want things to be different. And it's like, if you just commit to this thing over here, then you be you be on a different path.
I was just gonna say, real quick, you had said something about trying. Hold on, I'm gonna cut this part out. but you said something about. It was something about trying and committing. I don't remember the exact words that you said.
You never tried it? Like.
Oh, this is what you said. I'm not going to say what you said. I'm going to just say what I said. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's a thing of, I'm already doing this thing. I just haven't committed to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, my example would be a lot better. So, I was just going to say I've been doing music for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, like, for fun, since I was, like, 14-ish, somewhere around there. High school, I was rapping.
Mm-hmm.
The only idea, okay, high school, I was rapping. People were like, you should do this for real. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
But mind you, I'm in class writing verses. I'm making music. Like, I'm at home making music. I'm recording myself, just having a good time. I'm doing this already. So it's not even like I'm trying. But the fear came in. One, I'm known as quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody, if you ask about me, I'm quiet. I'm just a quiet kid. I'm handsome. I play sports. I'm quiet. I rap. Some people knew I rap. Everybody didn't know. But if you knew, you knew. But I'm quiet. So I have the stigma of the quiet kid, or the persona of a quiet person. And the vision of me performing in my mind is me in preschool standing front and center on the table. The whole class got to sing to the parents and the friends and family. And I'm just sitting there like stone face, just because I had stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to say the fear of, well, once you realize what the fear is, it's a lot easier to commit. And accept that, oh, I actually do enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I don't have to try because I'm already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I feel like in order to commit, you have to go back and figure out, why am I not committing to this thing that I actually enjoy doing?
Yeah, I think it's that, and I think you have to figure out, which is the same, it's pretty much the same thing, but why make the commitment in the first place? I think that's the really the bottom line.
Is the commitment worth the reward?
Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know what I was listening to, but they said overnight success takes 10 years. So, like, if it take me 10 years to do this, is it worth my time?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, what am I getting out of it? It's like, don't do everything to get something out of it. But mm-hmm. if I go hard at this thing for 10 years, like, if I go hard at this thing and it takes 10 years, it might take a lot less. But on average, if it takes 10 years, me right now, would I believe it's worth it? If you believe it's worth it, then I feel like it's worth it to commit to it.
Yeah, and that goes back to understanding what the value is in it. And I think that the value for whatever you're committing to is different for everybody. Because for me, some things, the value might simply be that I won't be afraid of this thing anymore. And then for other people, the value might be that, you know, I feel healthier, or I get to experience life in a different way. Or sometimes the value is that, the reward or the value is simply that I get to sleep. Like, mm-hmm. I get more rest. Like, I, you know, just depending on what it is. But I think when it comes to identifying, okay, what is the reward? I feel like in some ways, well, in a lot of ways it's clear. But sometimes when you commit to the journey, before you know the steps, because typically you don't know all of the steps, a lot of times you'll be like, okay, this is the value. This is the value that I know of. And you might find out along the way that the value is way bigger than what you initially thought it was. So it's like, I'm committing to get more rest, but in the end, I'm the reward that I'm receiving is actual overall better, I guess, well-being.
You get might get 10 more years.
It's like the like in the 12-week year, how they talk about like the lead indicator and the lag indicator. Mm-hmm. It's like on the lead, and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm taking more naps, I'm getting more rest, I'm taking better care of myself, and the lag indicator might be I'm healthier way down the line. Like, mm-hmm. I've lived a longer life, or I'm able to still run and jump around with my grandkids, and, you know, my parents and their parents wasn't able to do that. So, like, different things, I think, but it has to be valuable to you also. I think that's mm-hmm. the other thing. Like, the initial reward that you're seeking, or the initial value that you're like, okay, I like that. That's what's going to be appealing to you, and that's what's going to help you to commit. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like, because we don't know what
the journey is,
or what you're going to learn, or what this could become, in a lot of ways, it's like you still have to commit without knowing that. Mm-hmm. And you still have to like commit based off of just the information that you have. What was the saying? Is like you get between 40 and 70% of information.
Yeah. What is that one? And then you have to make a decision when you hit, what is it, like 51%? Oh, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being okay with that. And that's what I was talking about.
51%
certain. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about last week. I don't know if y'all remember. That was one of the biggest realizations that I've had in my life. It was just the idea that certainty. So in general, we want to know, is this journey worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you're not going to know if it's worth it until you get to the end of the journey.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to see some of the steps, and you're going to have to make a call. Hey, is this worth it? Right? And you have to be willing to be certain, even if everything around you isn't certain. Because what I've realized is that, like, the world is not certain. We're looking for, if you're looking for certainty in the world, you're not gonna find it. But you have to be certain.
Yeah, you create. You create what life is.
Yeah, so you have to be certain. Even if you're not certain about anything, if you're not certain about anything else, you have to at the very least be certain about how you feel at the bottom. For me, that's how I've been operating. So it's like, if I'm certain about how I feel, I can work with that. I can't be uncertain in an uncertain world. It just doesn't work for me.
I was just gonna say, and one thing to remember about committing, it's not a lifelong thing. So
it doesn't have to be.
So a lot of times we take necessary detours, and it goes back to being certain. Mm. Like we're on this path.
Just about to say, you need some water. Just like water. Coming to Forest Link below.
So we be on this path, and on this journey called life, it's certain detours that we have to take. So everything isn't a lifelong commitment, but we need it to be certain that this is where we're supposed to be going, so we can bring whatever it is that we learned back to this path called life. Mm-hmm. And then if we create in a life that, like, the goal of life is to create the most enjoyable life for yourself. Like, create a game that you're going to enjoy. So literally, when I was talking to my dad, I was talking about every detour that I made, it was necessary. Like, me looking back at it now, I had to focus on music so I can be a lot more comfortable and be great at speaking in front of people, learning how to actually control a crowd type of thing, mm-hmm. how to speak to a crowd, interact with a crowd, just be on stage talking to people. This job I'm at now, I needed it because I needed to accept small talk. Cause it's like it's difficult to make a deep connection with a stranger, just off of walking past. It's like, like nothing happens. Like we just gonna walk past if I'm only looking for a deeper type of conversation. Mm-hmm. Like in order to get to the deeper, it's like you gotta unlock the screen door to get through the main door.
Come on, metaphor. Unlock the screen door.
Lock the door. Stick my face in. But free surf.
free surf.
But
I was gonna say something else that I realized. I asked y'all this, but can you name one thing that you actually put your mind to and your effort to that you didn't actually succeed in?
Honestly,
there's nothing that I didn't like. Right. Like I halfway did stuff and was way better than. Like I'll lie to you not. Mm-hmm. This is why I'd be like I could do anything. Like I like when we was on book club and stuff. I don't see myself failing. Like, I literally don't see myself failing. I just be in a rush. That'd be my thing, rushing. Mm-hmm. So slowing down to the speed of life helped me. It's helping me tremendously and actually understanding my value and deciding what it is that I want to do. You could go ahead.
For me, I really, same thing. I like, thinking about it, I realized this year that nothing that I've actually taken the time to do, to commit to learn, I've been able to do it all. And same thing, not rushing has helped. Giving myself the time to actually decide, okay, I don't know this thing, let me learn it. That has helped. But what I realized, the huge thing for me was that I wasn't trusting myself. Like, so in not trusting myself, I wasn't trusting my abilities. I wasn't trusting my ability to learn it. I wasn't trusting my patience to sit down. I wasn't even giving myself the chance to commit to certain things because I was just like, I should already know it when I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's like with Japanese. I've never spoken this language before. Why would I think that I'm just suddenly going to be fluent out the gate? Like, okay, I learned two words. Let me just Shakoya this. Like that.
I am Shakoya. My name is Shakoya.
I am Shakoya. Yeah, but it's like, Shakoya was already in my Rolodex. Like, that's my name. So it's just like thinking about it from that standpoint is like I was scared to commit because I didn't trust myself.
Go ahead.
But when I commit to things, I can literally do it up. I put together a 30-day conference in the span of 20 days. It'd be taking people years to put together like a conference, and like I've helped put together events that have taken way longer, and I was able to start putting together this stuff and I got guest speakers. I made an itinerary. And I did all of that because I trusted myself enough to do it. And I trusted, all right, these is the messages that God been giving me, so let me just move forward in it. It was me committing to the journey before I actually knew what the steps were, what the reward was. I didn't know what was about to happen. So with that in mind, it's like, to answer your question, there has not been anything that I've actually committed to that I was not able to do.
See, and I agree. I'll say for me, it's the same thing. And then the reason I asked that is because when I think about it, and it was in one of the books that I was reading, but they made a point and it made me think about everything we've done in our lives that we've gotten good at or great at or whatever. Of course, we've committed to, and the stuff that we felt like we couldn't do. It's not that we couldn't do, we just gave up trying anymore. And I'm saying trying specifically. Yeah. But so down, like it's down to stuff that we don't even think about. Like when you were a kid, you didn't have the words to understand that you wanted to walk. You just knew, I want to walk.
Yeah, and then all
you did,
walking.
Yeah. And all you did was you put your mind, your energy and your effort into learning to walk. And then eventually you just learned how to walk. Same thing with talking. You didn't have the words to know how to speak. But you were like, everybody's doing this. I'm going to do this. Yeah. So it's like literally everything from walking, eating, like every single thing you've done, you've just put your mind to it and put the effort into it.
I'm sorry. All I heard in my head was I was picturing a, like me being a baby, looking at everybody talking, and I was like, everybody talking, gooby gabby gibby gabby, like me.
That's what they be doing their best, and I think the babies be frustrated because they can't get the words out, so they like. It's like, what do you want?
Like, I breath the big and that.
It's like, I'm hungry. I want some food. So the baby start crying. And it's like, oh, okay. But eventually they get the words by some, you know, by repetition. Wow. So having that realization made me realize that, oh, literally anything that I focused on and put my energy on, I can do. So what is there to be afraid of?
You go ahead now.
Now, sure? I was going to say the one thing that I, in learning, one of the books I was reading, can't remember again. Been reading a lot of books, y'all. It was understanding, like, what fear is and, like, what you're afraid of, right? So, understanding that all fears aren't actually fears of the thing. You're afraid of how you're going to feel when you experience the thing. Yeah. And I was like, I'm afraid of a feeling? Mm-hmm. That's stupid. And I'm being more gentle with myself, not beating myself up, criticizing. But my first thought was, that's stupid. Like, I'm afraid to commit because I'm afraid of how I'm going to feel during the process of me committing. It's just a feeling, my boy.
The feelings,
it's a feeling, my boy.
The feelings be scared.
Well, good, okay.
I think to that point, we have to do a better job of trusting our feelings. Mm-hmm. So a conversation I was having earlier about I wanted to go to school for fashion, but I chose the choice that made most sense based off of what I've saw, what I've seen, and what I thought would be most accepted based off of environment, what I saw, who I would want to be proud of my decision, and what would make more, what would allow people to understand this more, rather than trusting my feeling. So I went with every part of logic, but I ignored the feeling that I had. But I say that to say, it was a necessary detour that I had to do, because now I know how to speak now, like I can actually speak. But that goes into, I mean, I'm done with that, but it was another thing that one of y'all said, and it made me think of being is believing. Mm-hmm. It'd be mad easy for us to just count ourselves out before we even commit. Mm-hmm. So, and that goes back to the story, counting ourselves out. So I was like, since I couldn't see it, or I knew it didn't make sense, or might not, I didn't even know for a fact that it didn't make sense, but I didn't believe that it would make sense for me to go to school in another country for fashion when I wasn't even the best dressed person that I knew. I wasn't the best dressed person that I knew. And people don't necessarily know me as the fashion guy, or some people know that I actually like it, but I'm not the fashionista mm-hmm. that the world would label like, that's our guy. Mm-hmm. That's our guy. So with everything that I perceived, how I was perceiving life, I counted myself out before I even went for what I actually wanted.
Yeah. And that goes to the old saying, he who says he can and he who says he can't are both right. Yeah, because if you tell yourself that you can't do it, outside of just regular confirmation bias, like, you're going to go out of your way to prove the... Because we typically don't go out of our way to prove stories that we tell ourselves wrong. That's just something that we don't typically do, right? So when you're saying something, when somebody's complaining about something, and like, oh, I always miss a taxi, you're not going out to look for examples where you didn't miss a taxi.
Yeah.
You're just looking for anything that confirms the thing that you already that you already know. So if you tell yourself you really can't do something, you're going to find the evidence. Even if there's 101 examples of it not being true, you're going to find the one example. See, I knew I was right. See, I never catch a taxi out here. And it's like,
you won't with that attitude.
Yeah, I was going to say, you won't if you don't believe you can. You know, that kind of thing. Dang, I had something else, but it's gone now.
You oh, good. My bad. Yeah, I concur.
Oh, man. That's funny.
No, I feel like a lot of times we go with just logic.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply based off of, like, societal norms and what we feel like would be acceptable and approved by whoever we're seeking approval from. And that does cause us to not trust ourselves. And that does cause us to doubt who we are and who we want to become. And I feel like for me, I realized that there has to be some, I guess, some level of balance or harmony between the logic and the emotion. What is the feeling. Other? The feeling mm-hmm. side of things. Just because, like, logically, yes, it's important to pay attention to certain things and to consider, you know, certain aspects of things. Like, maybe logically, okay, how am I picking up all of these belongings that I have and moving to another country? Or, you know, that type of thing. But also on the feeling side, it's like, this is an experience that I feel will be valuable, or this is something that I really want to do and I feel called to it. I think we ignore the feeling portion of it too much and lean on the logic too much. I think, honestly, there are people on different ends of the spectrum, but I think what will actually help us to move forward and even commit to what the things that we truly want in life is if we find the balance between the two. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you're all feelings and no logic, it can be a little disastrous because you didn't necessarily consider everything that's mm-hmm. going on. But then also, on the other hand, when you're all logic and no feelings, then you wind up doing a lot of things that you don't actually want to do in life because you're chasing what makes sense, what you're told makes sense, what you think would make sense, versus it being like, well, this is something that makes my heart happy. And we have to remember that we were given our feelings for a reason, but we were also given our logical minds for a reason. And when we allow them to work together, I think that's what makes it easier to commit to the things, like, because that mm-hmm. helps us to see the value in whatever we're doing, because then you'll figure out emotionally what value this brings for me, or spiritually, or, you know, for your soul and for your mind or whatever. But then also on the logical side, you'll be able to see the opportunities there as well, and like, what value does it have logically, but also what value does it have emotionally and stuff like that. So then you can make sure the decisions that you make are good for your entire well-being. And thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think the hardest part about commitment is knowing it's getting your logical side and your feelings in alignment so that you can get there. Because I think on one end, like, when you're thinking about making a commitment, like, logically, you know the things that you need to do in a general sense. You have an idea, right? But the part that stops you is the feeling portion. So how you feel in regards to the steps that you have to take. So I think if you can find a way to align your feelings, and it could even be like, all right, well, if I want to commit to working out, right? But you feel like this feels like a lot. Like, I'm tired. I don't like how any of this feels. And I think if you can kind of align it, like, all right, cool. This is something that I had to do for me, right? There's stuff that I don't want to do. Or, like, logically, I'm thinking like, these are a lot of steps. Or these are the steps, and I feel like, all right, I don't really want to do this. But what I don't want more is to be out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how I feel that. Like, I don't like that feeling more. So if I can attach my logic to that feeling, that usually helps me, as opposed to thinking about the portion that I don't like. I can think about something that I don't like more. So, you know what I'm saying? So I don't like working out. It's like, all right, I don't like being in pain, blah blah. But I really don't like feeling sluggish and not being in the best shape, not being able to do a full court game how I wanted to. And that feeling bothers me way more than the feeling of working out. So I focus on that and then pair it with the little logical mm-hmm. steps, and that's the how I've been working on my commitments.
I feel like the most difficult part of commitment to me may be I'ma use comparison. Yep.
Is comparison a word? I was just thinking that.
Comparison? I don't believe so.
I think it should.
I don't
be.
Believe so.
Comparison.
Yeah, comparison. The act of comparing.
That's comparison.
Comparison. Just because, like, we go online and everything, like, we look for, like, we can search exactly what we want. So we know exactly what we want, and we only see, a lot of times, the end result. Mm-hmm. So, just starting out doing something, we don't expect it to be, at least for me, let's go back to when we was like, I could do anything. Mm-hmm. I never failed at anything that I put my mind to. So, with that logic, I should be good by tomorrow. Like, so if we stay on work, if we stay on working out a couple of weeks, I should look like how I want to look.
Should have a six pack. Well,
so it'd be days. Like delayed gratification is what it's like. Yeah, the delayed gratification and wanting things to happen now and seeing other people, like, I feel like we be comparing ourselves to an aspirational life. We should aspire to be whatever it is that we want to be, but know that it takes time to get to this point.
That's exactly. I was gonna say, yes, you've learned all of the stuff anything you wanted to do, you did. But you got to remember, you put in time and all of your effort. So you're like, yeah, I should be able to do this in a week. It's like, well, I mean, you didn't learn how to walk in a week, or you didn't learn how to talk in a week. So yeah, it's just. There's a time frame. You just have to make sure, like, yeah, I'm going to be able to do this, but I have to do a certain level. Like, there's a saying, I think they said, well, if nobody else said it, I'm going to say it. Doing the minimum never gets you to mastery. So, like, if you're just doing the minimum, you're never going to get to the point where you're able to get to the end result. And that was the biggest lesson for me when I made the commitment, my word of the year for last year, or the year before, whenever it was that you don't get the reward if you don't commit.
Or the minimum payment never going to get you out of debt.
Ever. Go ahead, my bad.
I was just going to say, that's a word right there, actually. I was just actually going to say that I think that's the thing that everybody needs to realize, though, is that you're committing to the journey, not to the end result. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of times people get afraid, because it's like, if I don't have this thing, if you can't guarantee me to have it by tomorrow, then why am I committed to this? And it's like, no, you're committing to the journey, because you're committing to learning to become that person that can have that thing, or you're committing to learning to develop this skill so that you can use it. I think that's the key thing when it comes to commitment. When you talked about, like, the delayed gratification.
Amen.
It's a thing where you committed to the result when you needed to commit to the journey. And then that's where the frustration comes in. And then that's where the trying comes in. And then it becomes just a cycle of, you just, if you keep committing to this result, because even with working out, if you're only committing to being the person with the six pack and not committing to doing the workouts to get the six pack and maintain the six pack, because that's the other thing, you also have to maintain the things.
And eating. That plays a big
role. Eating, like, but yeah, those are the things that those come with the journey of becoming that person. That doesn't come with the commitment of, I just want to look like this. It's like you're committing to the journey of, like, let me, because there's so many other things that go into it. Even with when it came to us doing this podcast,
And I mean,
this is a journey.
This has been a journey, and even us rebranding now, it's been us recommitting to the journey of actually building it up versus I think on some levels, in some ways, we were committing to like the end result and initially, and then we're like, okay, this is actually more of a process than we thought. We got to figure out what mics we can use, or if we have a recorder, or if like what type of camera, what type of lens. We have to take time, like what type of lights are we using, what's the setup, are we changing the setup. Like, it's just different things of us committing to the journey of becoming the people who have a successful podcast as well as other successful endeavors, versus the end result of I'm just committing to already be up there, and if I'm not up there tomorrow, then this podcast is over. And a lot of people are like that. That's why a lot of people start doing a thing, and then a few months in, or even a few days in, they're like, all right, this was fun, this was nice, this was cute, but I think I'm good, because I thought this was going to be a lot quicker than what it actually is. This is not what I was expecting, so I'm good off of that. I'm gonna just go ahead and take a nap.
Yeah, I was listening to my boy Jim Rohn the other day, and he was talking about don't do something because of what you're gonna get or what you can get out of it. Do something because what it's...
Wow.
He was saying something inspirational. Goodness gracious.
But so he was saying don't do something... He was speaking as far as jobs, but I'm going to say as far as life. Don't do something because of what you could get out of it. Do it because... Oh, don't do something based on what you could get out of it. Do it based on what it's making you become. Mm-hmm. So, like, if me doing this is allowing me to become the person that I desire to be, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Not just like how you be saying money is a terrible motivator. Mm-hmm. I'm not motivated by money. Be motivated that this is going to get me to be the version of me that I always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. And that version just might happen to have money.
And muscles.
Yeah. Money and muscles. M&M.
That's really good. Money and muscles is crazy. But that's really good. That reminds me of something from another book. But I be reading, y'all. But it was two questions that, and I asked myself now, it might have been a conversation with God, but I asked myself now, is this a statement of who I am? Is this a declaration of who I'm choosing to be? So anytime I'm making a decision, I'm like, is this a statement of who I am? Right? Like, is this me making a declaration of who I want to be? And if the answers to those are no, we not even. And then it forces me to assess, like, all right, let's say in this scenario, I'm attempting to talk to somebody, have a conversation, make deep connections or whatever, but I'm closed off, I'm blah, blah. And I have to ask myself, like, is this a statement of who I'm choosing to be? It's like, well, nah, actually, I'm kind of being closed off, a little nervous, a little tense. It's like, nah, hold on, let me realign my, let me get, all right, cool, how your day going? And it's like, now I'm a little able to kind of re-engage. So hearing you say that reminded me of those questions.
That's good. Do y'all got any final thoughts?
We said our final thoughts. Yeah. Okay. What's your inspiration for today?
I would say my inspiration is... Your words of wisdom. Make sure that whatever you're committing to, it is for you and not for everyone else. A lot of times we make commitments with the world in mind, and we need to start putting ourselves first in those decisions, because this is our life. And make sure that you're using both your logic and your feelings to guide you to the path that you want to be on. Because we be, especially us millennials, we be on these paths that our parents and grandparents and all these people told us was the path that we need to go on. And it's not a happy one. So get on your happy path, okay?
On your happy horse.
Follow your joy. But also comment below. Let happy us know, horse. Do you have commitment issues? What do you think would make you commit to things? What are your thoughts on commitments in life? And I know we didn't really touch on relationships in this episode, but let us know, like, do you have commitment issues, and do you want us to do a episode on commitment in relationships? But in the meantime, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you made it to the end of this episode, drop a blue heart in the chat. And tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And if you love this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked somewhere on this screen. I will see you guys. We'll all see you guys next week. Bye.
You got to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Shakoya D.
Bad Mind Breezing Ten Ear.
Your humble friend, Damani.
And this was the Gray Area Podcast.
Yes.
We appreciate y'all. Have a good night.
Stay blessed, stay black, people.
Adios.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, hit me with another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.